Hello, I'm Kev Kiker, pastor of Booms Creek Baptist Church. We're so excited having you with us today. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And I hope you'll discover that today, that you'll be uplifted and encouraged as we praise the Lord together.
You ever wonder what heaven's going to be like? This is a homecoming year. One day there's going to be a great homecoming.
Amen. Amen.
Where does this all, I believe, tells us what heaven's going to be like?
Amen.
to do your song first, are you?
All right.
Welcome here.
Amen. Be glad to be in the house of the Lord. Say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Sit over there on that spot over yonder, look at this pulpit, and think I saw about where it hit Brother Ken on about his belly. And I watched Brother Bobby sing. And I said, my goodness, I'm not be able to see that pulpit. I'm going to get behind us now. I'm 6'5" and I've got a size 8.5 head. It's the biggest head you've ever seen. Go ahead and get out of your mind now. Don't let that distract you from what the rest of the service. It takes a big garage to park a big car. That's right. Amen. What a joy it is to be at homecoming. When Brother Bud asked me, I was humbled by the invitation. And I appreciate it so much. I love homecoming. Some of my fondest memories as a kid, Kenji's around homecoming. I remember all those quartets coming. Anybody old enough remember when those quartets would come to your church and all the microphones had those big colored foam things on them, looked like ice cream cones? I was blessed with being the pastor's kid, so I was there when the bus rolled up and we opened the door and Ed come in there, and those sound systems and all that stuff, man, that was a joy to me. Some of my fondest memories about folks coming home and all those meals. I love homecoming day. But I stand before you this morning by the fact that one of these days there'll be a home going that every one of us will be a part of. If you're a born-again, spirit-filled child of the living God, baby, we're just getting started. We're just warming up on this side of glory. One of these days we'll step around that throne of glory and sing like we've never sung before. And this song that I've been asked to sing this morning speaks to a day that's going to come in all of our lives. I've learned something. I turned 50 years old this past March. I'm not nearly as old as some of you, but older than a lot of you. And I found myself, I'm just tired of seeing God's people harassed by the enemy. I'm just tired of watching God's people, families being ripped apart, moms and daddies, and I've kind of grown weary of all that the devil's doing in this old world. And I've heard my dad say 100 times growing up as he was preaching, he's waiting for the day, longing for the day when the devil gets his.
Amen.
Day, like my dad used to say, when they put the chain around old Lucifer right before they throw him into the pits of hell, I hope to put my foot on his goozle. I think it must be somewhere in the throat or somewhere. He says, I look forward to the day that I can cinch that chain one more time just because of the way he's harassed my people and my family and all these churches that I pastored. Well, this song speaks to that day. Child of God, if you're here this morning and the devil's been in your business all week and he's been giving you hell on earth and your family and your finances and your spiritual existence, find comfort in the words of this great song, because one of these days he'll stand before the great judge of this universe and he's going to get his. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Listen to the great words of this song. Hope it blesses you today. Mind wonder, but the Holy Spirit leads you. Picture this if you can. All is still. Heaven is silent as the mighty judge ascends the throne. The book of life is open and countless souls begin to moan. From the throne comes a voice like thunder. Depart, I know you're not. You see, it's the names that are written in this book. They are the souls the blood has bought. Now think about it. Faces turn as into that same courtroom comes the very seed of sin. He who was the saint's accuser will now face the charges against him with the fury of all the ages. That demon voice begins to cry. It's not fair. I almost had you on Golgotha. I watched you die. But then Satan, he begins to tremble as his fate to him was known. From the throne comes the verdict. The lake of fire will be your home. And I see every knee is bowed, every hand in our is raised, every voice to him is lifted. Thou art worthy, the Lamb be praised. Think about this now. Angels standing at attention. Try to picture that. As we the redeemed, we all begin to sing. Heaven's court resounds the anthem. You are our Savior, Lord and King. Heaven's court resounds the anthem.
Songwriter said it best, what a day that will be.
Right.
In my Jesus, I shall see.
Are you ready to go home?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm packed and ready. Got my ticket punched. If they got a load today, I'd be ready to go.
Hope you can say the same thing. And by the time this service is over, I'll give you an opportunity to make things right. You'll be ready to go home just like the rest of us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want you to bring your Christian growth manuals this morning. You got it, okay. Make sure you do have your Christian growth manual with you today. That's your Bibles for the rest of you. Tough room, Brother Ken. Tough room. You don't laugh at that one, I'm in trouble. That wasn't even the best one. I want you to come to Luke chapter number 19. Luke chapter number 19. I heard a preacher say this recently, and I started using that line. Open your Bibles or turn them on. You've got your iPhone and your tablet. If you got your Bibles, open them or turn them on and scroll down to Luke chapter number 19. Let me begin this morning with one of the most, odd illustrations you've ever heard of for a pastor's message. I want to know if there's any Star Wars fans in the house. You'd be honest enough to see how often big Star Wars fans are. Yeah, the rest of you just didn't. I appreciate it. I got two at least. This will mean a lot to you, nothing to the rest of us. I appreciate it. I'll just sort of talk to you and your baby if that's all right. But back on May the 15th in the year 2005, George Lucas released a movie, Star Wars Revenge of the Sith. And in order of release of those movies, it was actually number 6 of all of the Star Wars movies. But in the storyline, it was number 3. Are you with me? I know, I can tell you. Yes, thumbs up. Okay, there you go. Now, you have to go all the way back to 1977 for the first release of the first Star Wars movies. But the first one was released in 1977 was actually number 4 in the storyline. Are you with me? Y'all stay with me because it gets better. That movie in 1977, first one in a series, but number 4 in the storyline, that was the one that introduced the world to people like Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader and Princess Leia, you know, the cinnamon bun head lady. You know, that cinnamon bun on the side of the head. We were introduced to Obi-Wan Kenobi and C-3PO and R2-D2, all those characters that we associate with Star Wars today. Now, when you watched that movie, at least I did, you felt like you're jumping right into the middle of the story. That movie opens and it feels like you've missed something.
Because that's exactly what you did. You've missed a whole three movies that give the backstory to that first movie.
There's some sort of a rebellion going on against something called the Empire, and Princess Leia has sent this message via this little talking trash can dude. Her little hologram comes up, and the message basically says, "Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi." You don't know a bit more than nothing for who Obi-Wan Kenobi is at this point. You don't know what kind of help she needs. Maybe her buns are on too tight. We don't know what's going on with her. So you jump forward to 2005, and the Revenge of the Sith, last to be released, third in the storyline, attempts to answer all those nagging questions that Star Wars people have had down through the years. Who was Luke Skywalker? How does he wind up living out in the desert with his uncle? Who's that Darth Vader cat? And why does he wear that black helmet? And why does he make so much noise breathing? And all those things are answered in that last movie. I said to tell you all of that just to tell you that when you come to Luke chapter 19, the first four verses, you have a little bit of those same feelings. Just out of the blue, with no backstory whatsoever, we have a cat that comes on the screen. First time he's ever mentioned. Luke is the only gospel writer that ever mentions Zacchaeus. He's not mentioned again before it. He's not mentioned anywhere after it. But for the purposes of Luke's gospel, there was something about this cat that made him pin his words down and take his story and put it in his gospel account. If you found Luke chapter 19, say amen.
Amen.
If you're saying my battery just went dead, say wait a minute. All right, then. Luke chapter number 19, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Jesus entered in and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press or the crowd, because he was of little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way." As I said before, this is the only time that you ever see Zacchaeus showing up in Scripture. All that we've got to go on is what Luke gives us in Luke chapter number 19. So you list all the things together, we know about two things. We know two things about this man. Here's what we know for sure. The Bible says he was a tax collector. He was chief among the publicans. He was very determined to see Jesus. And I guess we could add one third one to that. He was a wee little man. Anybody remember that? Zacchaeus was? Climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord. Y'all remember that song? Y'all remember the motions? You're sitting there thinking you don't, but you know you're old enough to remember Zacchaeus was a wee little man. So seemingly, out of the blue, onto the pages of God's Word, races the man that we know as Zacchaeus. Picture him now. He's running through a crowd, and for him to be running, he's probably got his skirt hiked up around him, tucked in his belt, running down through the streets of Jericho, seemingly out of his ever-loving mind. I can picture him as he's running through the streets of Jericho. He's jumping like this to try to get a better view of what's going on in the street, because after all, he's a wee little man. Y'all get used to that, because when we say that again, he was a they are awake. You said he was just asleep by this time. They're doing a fine job. He was determined to see Jesus because the Bible said he was about to pass that way. Now, with your help this morning, if you'll pray for this preacher, if you listen fast, we'll get done quicker. But if you don't listen fast enough, we'll be eating supper instead of lunch. Now, we have to reheat up all them groceries. I promise you, as in the words of Liz Taylor's fourth husband, I won't keep you long. But I want to, this morning, with the Lord's help, I want to paint a picture for you. There ain't enough scripture to tell me that it didn't happen. It's my story, and I'm sticking to it. If you can prove it that did not happen in Scripture, I'll never preach this message again, even if Brother Bud asked it, y'all. I'm not a preacher again. But I don't think there's enough Scripture to tell you that it did not happen. I want to try to help you this morning figure out why exactly it was that Zacchaeus was running. How he shows up on the streets of Jericho running. And what I want you to do, first of all, this morning, with your Holy Spirit-inspired imagination, I want you to try to imagine this morning a typical day in the life of Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector. Imagine that he wakes up one morning and he checks his calendar and he says, it's tax collecting time. So he knows what's expected of him as chief among the publicans, as the chief tax collector. He knows he's got several calls that he has to make to go out and collect taxes from all of those people in the surrounding area. So he packs his stuff in a little satchel, puts it over his shoulder, and before he is done, his journey is going to take him to Capernaum, places like Jericho, the far side of the Sea of Galilee, and around back to Jerusalem before he winds up right back there in Jericho. So off he goes with a bag on his shoulder, heading out to collect taxes. So he walks for a while, and he comes to door number one, and he knocks on that door, and he steps back and begins to admire the surroundings around door number one. The gospel writer of Mark, chapter number one, records a story for us. He knocks on the door of a run-down little shanty of a house, not very appealing to those that might look at it from the outside. And as he's standing in front of this running old door, he hears shuffling on the inside of this little house. And when someone finally opens that little door that kind of creaks open, he is shocked by what he sees with his own eyes. Standing before him is a man covered from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, with little spots and little sores and scabby little nodules that are oozing pus out of those sore places on his body. This man has this foul odor about him, and he wheezes when he talks and when he tries to breathe, and there's this raspiness in his voice. And immediately, Zacchaeus steps back because he knows what he's facing. He says, this man's got leprosy. I ain't got no time to play with this. He says, listen, sir, my name is Zacchaeus. I'm here to collect taxes. You're in no shape, form or fashion, to pay your taxes today. I'll be back here in 30 days. You mark her down. He's thinking to himself, this man will never live to see in 30 days, but I'm not going to stand and catch what this man has to give me. I'll be back in 30 days as he walks on down the street. So he walks down, he begins to wash his hands, there's a little hand sanitizer on the wall. He's washing his hands, washing his face. I don't want what that guy's got. So he puts that behind him and marks it off in his mind and heads on down the road. And he comes to what we'll call door number two. He steps back and admires this place. He says, now this is more like it. This story I found in John chapter 4, verses 46 and following. Fancy house in the good side, the ritzy side of the town of Capernaum. So he knocks on this big sprawling door and he steps back, and without even meaning to, he starts cleaning himself up a little bit, because, you know, this ain't no leper's outcrop here. He's got dollar signs rolling in the back of his mind. He said, this is going to be a good visit. I can even see it coming. So he gets himself all squared away, and sure enough, this door swings wide open and a servant comes in, answers the door, and he says, excuse me, my name is Zacchaeus, and I'm here to collect taxes. Well, the servant says, the master of the house has gone down to Cana of Galilee. His son is nearly dead, and he's heard that there's some help to be found down yonder in Cana of Galilee. He said, can I take a message, or can you come back later? And he says, well, in the back of his mind, he said, well, this didn't work out at all like I thought it was going to. He says, well, I'll have to be back in this neck of the woods in 30 days. So you tell your master that Zacchaeus will be back in 30 days, and I expect his taxes to be due. Okay, the servant says, okay, sir, I'll pass that over. Well, he puts his shoulder back, bag back on his shoulder, and says, well, doggone, that didn't work. This day is off to a lousy start. So he walks on down the road a little bit longer, and he comes to door number three. And he knocks on the old door there in the city of Jerusalem. He knocks on the door and steps back and begins to notice his surroundings. Noticing the place doesn't look that inviting, and not sure what he's going to find behind this door. But sure enough, the door squeaks open, and a thin, pale, sickly little woman comes to the door. And he says, ma'am, I sure hate to bother you, but my name is Zacchaeus, and I'm out on a mission today. I'm out collecting taxes, and it's that time of the year after all. Well, the lady says, sir, I'm so sorry, but see, you have to understand that I have battled a condition in my blood for now on 12 years. I spent every dime I have on doctors. In fact, I was just leaving right now, and, out to see the last doctor with my last thin dime. I've actually gotten worse. Even all the doctors I've seen says, sir, I'll have to ask you, can you come back another day? Yes, he says, I'll be back in 30 days. I expect you to be ready when I come back in 30 days. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your understanding. Well, Zacchaeus, by this point, he's getting awful frustrated. He says, my goodness, this ain't going at all like I thought it was going to go. So he heads on down the road, and he comes to what we'll call, for the purpose of this message, door number 4. It's over in a shady side of Jerusalem, the side of town that he's never actually been very comfortable in. He's heard some of the stories that happens over there in that side of town. And he knocks on the door, sure enough, and steps back and begins to recognize his path leading up to this door. Seems a lot more wore out than a lot of paths. There might have been a lot of traffic, a lot of foot traffic on this path. And he's met by a lady that comes to the door, and as the door opens, she's dressed in a very provocative kind of way, and she's got these sad, lonely eyes that just tell stories that are dying to be heard. And he looks over her shoulder behind her and sees yonder a couple of other women kind of milling around there in the front room, and some other guys are sort of sitting in couches and chairs along the wall, and he realizes where he's come to. He says, he drops his eyes, and he says, ma'am, as awkward as I am, ma'am, my name is Zacchaeus, and I've just come by to collect the taxes. The lady says, well, sir, I'm entertaining a guest right now. You're welcome to come in and wait. I can't afford to pay my taxes right now, but maybe we can come to some other kind of arrangement. He says, oh, no, I'm good. Really, I'm good, but I'll be back in 30 days. Nervously, he says, I'll be back in 30 days. Maybe you're at a better time, and we'll talk some more then. He quickly picks his bag up and shuffles off to Buffalo. Door number 5 comes up next. And he comes to door number 5 and knocks on that door, and he's just disgusted with the day he's having. All this foot walking, I've wore out 3 pairs of shoes on this trip and collected 1 thin dime. This is the wasted trip there ever was one. So he finds himself in the little town of Jericho. And he knocks on this door, and he hears shuffling behind the door. And the door opens up, and hand fumbles with a little lock and a little doorknob, and this door opens to see a guy that is obviously blind. Zacchaeus says, you've got to be kidding me. Could this thing possibly get any worse? He looks at his records and he says, my name is Zacchaeus. I'm the chief tax collector in these parts. I'm here to collect taxes. Are you son of Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus? He says, yes, sir, I am. He says, I'm awful sorry, but I'm here to collect some overdue taxes. And he says, Mr. Zacchaeus, I wish I could help you, but as you see, I'm blind and I can't work. All I can do is I've got a special spot over by the highway where I sit over there begging alms, those people that walk by, and I really just can't afford to live hard and let alone pay taxes. Zacchaeus feels the redneck crawling up the back of his shirt collar. And he says, mister, you better get your act squared away. I'll be back in 30 days. You better have your taxes ready. He says, sir, I'll do my best. I can't promise, but I'll see you in 30 days. So off he goes. He comes to one more door. He says, if this don't work any better, I'm going to the house. If I don't have any more luck behind this door number 6, I'm going to the house. So he walks up. He has made his way to the far eastern shores of the Sea of Galilee by this point. He said, I've got to get me some fresh air. I got to go back to the lake. He said, maybe I'll clear my senses a little bit. So he goes down to the lake and walks around the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And he finds himself on the far side, the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee. And he knocks on that door. And the door swings open, and he's met by a tired young lady, but very tired looking, just weary from the struggles of life, it seems. And as she stands there at the door, 3 little dirty faces peek around her skirt tail and looking out at him, grinning at him. And he says, ma'am, says, my name is Zacchaeus, and I'm from the local tax collecting office, and I'm here to collect taxes. And she says, sir, you're not going to believe. He says, well, try me. The day that I had, you just tried it. So she takes him outside and around the corner of the little house we're living in and points up to a cemetery up on the hill. She says, you see that graveyard up on the hill? He says, yeah, I can see that cemetery. She says, see all those stones and all those monuments up? Yeah, I can see those. Anything else grab your mind and grab your eye that looks a little out of sorts? Zacchaeus looks a little closer and he sees what he looks to be a
a man running around up in that cemetery without any clothes on. I said, there's a naked, yeah, she said, I know. There's a naked man, yeah. There's a naked man. That's my husband. He's been that way for a good long time now. They try to put chains on him. Nothing can hold him. He'll cut himself with stones. We can't keep clothes on him. We think he must be possessed by some kind of demons or something. We don't know exactly what the story is. But, sir, because there's no way I could pay taxes today. I've got that to deal with. I've got these kids I'm trying to feed. I got nothing off you. Okay, fine. He says, I'll be back in 30 days. We'll talk some more then. Well, as is often the case, 30 days goes by very, very quickly. And as is the case, all of them said the same thing. Due to my circumstances, due to where I find myself in life right now, I just can't pay my taxes. And every one of them said, fine, I'll be back in 30 days. Well, a month goes by very quickly, pops up on his iPad, shows up on his somehow or another, he knows 30 days have gone by. He puts that same little satchel on his shoulder, and he's thinking to himself, if this day don't go any better than the last time I went on this trip, then I'm going to stay at the house and raise cucumbers or something. I got to do something. So he heads out, and he goes back to door number one, and he steps back. So he steps back, and he kind of covers his mouth a little bit. He says, I don't want to go. He says, hey, I don't know what's going to happen if anybody even answers the door. So the door opens, and he's met with a man with this glowing, supermodel kind of complexion about him, just radiating health and vitality in his life. Got this big smile from ear to ear. And he steps back and looks at the address on the door, and he says, my name is Zacchaeus. I'm here to collect taxes, but it looks as if the former owner has already passed away, so I'll be going, oh, no, no. He says, no, I've lived here for years. Been living in the same house for years. He says, I thought, but didn't you have leprosy? Yeah, that's me. Weren't you the one? Yeah. Pussy, sores, all, and that's me. That's the same. I'm healed. But you see, Mr. Taxman, Jesus of Nazareth passed by my way one day. Jesus passed by me, and without a single word, he healed me completely. Amen. He told everybody. Everybody around there, watch what happens. But then he tells us not to tell anybody. He says, you go show yourself to the priest, and he'll prepare you, and he'll prepare you to go tell everybody else. He says, Mr. Zacchaeus, I couldn't contain myself. He said, I told everybody that I met. I'm that fellow what used to have leprosy. I'm the fellow that folks used to cross to the other side of the street not to be close to me. I'm the guy that what used to have leprosy. But see, Jesus passed by my way. Here's your money, Mr. Zacchaeus. And oh, by the way, I sure hope Jesus passes by your way one day.
That's right.
Zacchaeus puts the money in the little pouch to him and said, that's the strangest thing I've ever seen in my life. He just kind of shakes it off and gets on down the road, and he comes back to door number two. Mm-hmm. That fancy house. He says, last time they had a death going on. I hate to bother them again. They're probably still mourning over the death of that youngin. But after all, a man's got a job to do. Taxes still have to be done. So he knocks on that big old door down in Capernaum, and that same little servant opens up the door. And he says, ma'am, I know this is an awful bad time. I know your master is still grieving over the death of his son, but my name is Zacchaeus, and I'm here to collect those taxes we talked about. Oh! She says, you didn't hear. You ain't around here, are you? He says, no, ma'am, I'm not. He says, Jesus from Nazareth, you're going to like this story, Mr. Zacchaeus. Jesus healed the master's son from way yonder in Cana of Galilee. Never even came down here. Master says he goes up yonder to Cana of Galilee and tells them about his son being sick. Jesus just says, your faith has done a glorious wonder back yonder at your house. And I don't know exactly how he did it, but we got to talking and comparing notes. And about the same time he met Jesus up yonder, we was watching that boy, and all of a sudden he just began to get better right on death's doorstep. And he's never been the same since. Jesus healed that little boy. Master said, you may come by. He says, to give you this tax money and to give you this note. Thank you, sir. Have a good day. Well, Zacchaeus puts the money back in his sack and turns heading down the road and holds the note. He pulls out the note and he says, opens up the note and says, dear Mr. Taxman,
Jesus healed my boy. I hope you meet him one day too, because he'll change your life too.
He looks at that note and says, this is the strangest thing I've ever seen in my life. Tucks that bad boy back away in his pocket. Heads on down to door number 3. Before he ever gets to door number 3, he hears somebody singing behind that door. And he begins to lean in a little closer to that door, and they're singing it in the sweetest little voice. Little woman voice saying, to God be the glory, praise. She's just a humming and a doing cleaning or whatever she's doing in there. And again, he checks the address on the door, says this can't be the same place. But nonetheless, knocks on the door. Door swings open. He's met by the sweetest little girl. Got this glowing smile on her face from ear to ear. Hair's pulled up. A nice little bun on the back. Her clothes is looking as conservative. Because after all, modest is hottest.
Right.
So she's up. She shows up at the door and opens up that door. And he says, may I see the lady of the house? He's almost embarrassed to say it because he knows what kind of house this is after all. He's embarrassed even. He understands. He says, can you help me make sure I'm even in the right place? And she looks and says, you'll notice, sir, that the place is all different than the last time he was here. She says, yeah, I do remember that. There's flowers in the flower boxes. There's curtains on the outside. And this little sparkle in her eye. She says, won't you come in? He says, no. I'll stay right where I'm at. It's all the same to you. She said, no. It's fine. He says, you don't remember me, but I'm here to collect taxes. Oh, I remember you. I remember you well. And first of all, I just want to apologize to you for the way I looked last time you was here. And the way that I acted and the words that I said to you. That was my sinful ways finally caught up to me. And I was dragged out of this very house. And took yonder and thrown at the feet of this wonderful man named Jesus. Have you met Jesus yet? He says to me, all your sins are forgiven, he basically tells me. There's this whole thing about rocks, they were going to stone me, but I ain't going to tell you all that. I just want to tell you what Jesus did. The rest of that, if you got time, I'll tell you. He says, no. Well, he looks at me and says, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And he does, he picked me up, Mr. Zacchaeus, and dusted me off and sent me on my way. My life has never ever been the same. Here's your money that you're needing. And by the way, I sure hope Jesus comes by your way sometime. He changed my life. He'll change your life too. Zacchaeus is blown away. He said, this has got to be. I thought 30 days ago was crazy. This is crazier than that day was. Well, he shows up at the next door. And again, knocks on the door. The door opens. And he says, can I see the lady of the house? And she says, that's me. I've lived here forever. Can I help you? He says, weren't you sick? Yeah, I was sick. Issue of blood. It was horrible. Used all my money on doctors. Yeah, I think I told you that. Did I tell you about the story about me having no more money for doctors? Yeah, you told me your story. Well, you're not going to believe. Remember, did I tell you when you was here last time that I was going to go by and see one more doctor with my last 10 dimes? And he said, yeah. I had no more money. I spent every dime to my name on doctors, and I only got worse. So here I am, heading up into town, heading to that doctor's appointment, and I get myself caught up in this great, massive crowd of folks, and I didn't know what was going on until all of a sudden somebody started talking about Jesus was passing by. I heard a few things about him. I heard he was the healing man from down Galilee way. So Mr. Zacchaeus, can I call you Zach? She says, Zach, I just had me this moment. I just realized in my heart of hearts, preacher, that he can heal me too. And I knew they didn't want to be around me. They all called me unclean. So I got down as low as I could get in that crowd of people. And something in the back of my, bless God, something in the back of my mind says, if you'll just touch the hem of his garment, you're going to be all right.
Right.
You're going to be all right. So I got down as low as I could and tried to make myself as inconspicuous as I could. And I got as close and I reached out just as far as I could reach. And I just sort of brushed the hem of his garment. And Mr. Zach, you're going to think I'm out of my mind. You're going to think I'm crazy right here. But the moment that I touched the hem of his garment, something started changing in me. Not only did something start changing in me, would you believe, Mr. Zacchaeus, that as soon as I touched him, he turned around and looked at me,
and said, something has happened, healing has gone out of my body. And she saw, I started one time to apologize to him, but he looked at me with such love in his eyes, I didn't know what to say. I said, I thank you. I didn't know what to say. He lifted me up, sent me home, and Mr. Zacchaeus, I have never, ever been the same because I had my moment with Jesus.
Amen.
He says, I just hope one of these days, Mr. Zacchaeus, that you'll have yourself a moment with the Lord, because Jesus changed my life, he'll change your life too.
Right.
Well, Zacchaeus is starting to leave that door now. He's just starting to feel a little giddy in his step. He said, this is too good to be true. This has got to be the most remarkable day I've ever had in my life. So he goes to the door number five. This is that blind man's door. And he opens up the door again. No surprise to him. Opens up the door. A smiling dude comes walking out the door with feeling and with vigor. And Zacchaeus doesn't expect it now. He's been around the block a time or two now. And he says, you're Bartimaeus, ain't you? Well, yes, sir, I am. He says, you're a son of Timaeus, and you used to be blind, didn't you? He says, yes, sir. Hey, he goes, I used to be blind, but I recognize your voice. Yes, sir. Can I tell you, the day after you left my house 30 days ago, I went yonder to my regular spot on the highway over there, and I sat down there where folks knew me by name. They'd come by and drop me some alms every once in a while. And I was just there doing what I've always done. But glory to God, Mr. Zacchaeus, Jesus passed by my day. He passed by me, and I told my buddy sitting beside him, I don't care what the rest of you are going to do, but I'm getting me a healing today. And I began to cry out for Jesus. I began to cry out, Son of David! And the rest of my buddy, y'all need to hush now. You're going to embarrass all of us. We don't call out to people. We're blind folk. We don't call out. He said, y'all sit there if you want to. I'm getting me a blessing from Jesus today.
Amen.
Calls him out by name. Right there in the midst of that big old crowd of folks. And wouldn't you know it, sir? Right there on that highway, Jesus came by me. And I asked him, says, Father, Son of David, will you please just have mercy on me? Guess what? Zacchaeus said, I don't have to guess. I saw you 30 days ago. You were blind as a bat. I see you today. Let me guess. Jesus healed you, didn't he?
Amen.
Yes, sir, he did. And I told everybody, amen. I once was blind, but now I see. I've been healed. I've got myself a good job. Here's your money, Zacchaeus. Appreciate you coming back like you said you would. Oh, by the way, I've heard that Jesus is going to be in Jericho later on this week. A bunch of us are heading down that way. Hope maybe to see you down there. Maybe Jesus will bless you. He changed my life. He'll change your life too. Zacchaeus says, my goodness, he says, I don't know how to handle this whole situation. So he goes, he says, I got to see if it all comes to pass. He said, I got to see the final one. So sure enough, he treads around the Sea of Galilee, goes to the far eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee, knocks on door number six. And I think by this point, I believe he said a little prayer in his heart. He said by this point, said, Lord, if this thing works out like the other five, got my attention. I appreciate what you've done for them five folks, but let's just see how this number six goes. So he knocks on this door. Door swings open. This tall, handsome man comes to the door, just glowing with life itself. He's got a little giggling dollar wrapped around his ankle, holding one in his other arm. And as he's standing there at the door, before he can even get a word out, his wife comes up and kind of slips her arm around his waist and standing there, this whole little family, three little youngins, smiled at him. He says, yes, can I help you? Bless your name, oh my soul. Zacchaeus says, I've never seen this side of you before. Last time I seen you, he said, yeah, that was me. I told that story to a whole lot of folks, Zacchaeus. I'm awful proud to tell you that I used to be a demon-possessed man living up there at that cemetery. My wife told me you came by last month. I don't remember much about it, Zacchaeus, but they tell me that no man could hold me. They say chains couldn't hold me. They told me when the whole thing was said and done, I was possessed by upwards of 3,000 different demons living inside my body. And Jesus come across the Sea of Galilee in a boat, and I'm convinced he came all this way just to see me. He came to right where I was He cast my demons out into a herd of swine. You talk about a mess. he was not well received on this neck of the woods. All them swine went down and cast herself in the ocean and killed herself. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. He says, next thing I know, I come to myself and I'm sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in my right mind. He said, here's your money, Zach. You mind if I call you Zach? I've got a good job. In fact, we're just packing up a few little things. We're heading down to Jericho because word has it that Jesus is coming to Jericho and we're going down there to meet him. We'd love to have you come go with us if you don't have anything to do. Because I'm going to tell you something, sir. What a glorious difference it makes when Jesus passes by in the middle of your circumstances.
Amen.
Three times he's walking back down the sidewalk, and before he knew it, one of them little blonde-headed girls has come down and tags him on the and pulls his skirt tail and says, Mr. Zacchaeus, Jesus healed my daddy. I hope you get to meet Jesus one day too.
Right.
Well, as it just happens in Luke chapter 19, we find that Jesus is once again passing through the town of Jericho. Fast forward to the end of our story now. Zacchaeus has left that little girl standing on that little sidewalk of that house, and tears have started streaming down his cheeks. He's got six stories bouncing around in the back of his mind, six lives that were forever changed by the power and the presence of Jesus Christ. So he's convinced himself he's got to meet this man called Jesus. He hears the word begin to spread like wildfire through the banks along the banks of the Jordan River. The miracle worker from up in Galilee just came into town. The one called Jesus is going to be passing by later. This strange holy man, some of them are calling him the Messiah, is going to be passing by. His mind is racing now. He remembers the former leper that he met. He remembers the nobleman's son who had been brought back from the brink of death, brought back to life. He remembers the woman that had the issue of blood. And all these images passing in front of his mind, he thinks about that adulterous woman. He thinks about Bartimaeus, that formerly blind beggar. And this rapid fire, all these memories are passing before his eye. And the more he thinks about it, the faster he's walking. The more he thinks about those six experiences, those six people whose lives was forever changed, the faster he walks, and the faster he walks. And before he knew it, he had grabbed his shirt, his skirt tail, tucked it into his belt, and he's running at full bore down the streets of Jericho looking for this man called Jesus. With all of that in mind, come back now to Luke chapter 19, verse number 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not. Why? Because he was a weak little man. And he ran before him and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Catch this now, and we'll be done. It was not simple curiosity that drew Zacchaeus to Jericho. He did not come there hoping just to see another miracle. I believe Zacchaeus came there because he had already seen enough. He had already heard enough. He already knew that this man Jesus had the answers to the life's questions that he had in his own life. Now I admit my story might be a bit far-fetched, but I have added nothing to the Bible's narrative. If you can tell me that it didn't happen that way, that's all right. It's my story, and I'm going to stick to it. But you have to admit this. Someone, somehow, Zacchaeus had come to realize that he needed what Jesus had to offer.
Amen.
I think we can all agree on that. Somebody had said something to him. He had either heard or seen it with his own eyes. Now, please, I want you to try and grab hold of the picture of this man as rich and influential as he was. He's out yonder running ahead of the crowd with his skirt tail pulled up so he can run better, trying to find a place where he could see all of the festivities. And what you need to understand about the culture of this day, it was highly unusual for a grown man to run anywhere. Just didn't happen. Unless you was the town lunatic, grown men just didn't run. The only people that ran were children and fools. Never, ever wealthy government officials. Which speaks loudly to me that Zacchaeus was not just curious. He was not just curious to see who Jesus was. He was earnest. He was determined to see who Jesus was. Verse 3 that I just read in your hearing this morning says he sought to see Jesus. He was going out of his way, doing anything necessary to get where Jesus was. Why? Because he knew Jesus had the offer, had the answer to the questions, and he was offering him eternal life. He had come to the place in his life he was seeking after the one that had the answer to his life. And I like to believe that while Zacchaeus was running along, jumping up and down, trying to see Jesus, climbing up into that sycamore tree, which, by the way, I don't think he was the only one in that tree. I think there's probably boys up there. There's probably other folks. That's a smart place to watch a parade. Shimmy up a sycamore tree. You can see everything. Yeah. So I picture Zacchaeus not only foolish enough to run, but foolish enough to climb up a sycamore tree wearing, in essence, a skirt. Let that sort of sit in your mind for a second. Now he finds himself up in a sycamore tree with a bunch of other young boys that are just there to see the show. And along comes Jesus. What we have playing out for us in Luke chapter number 19 is a sinner seeking a Savior, and a Savior seeking a sinner.
Amen.
My message for you this morning is simply this. Amazing and awesome things happen when Jesus passes by.
Amen.
We've heard from six witnesses.
Yes,
I've stood before you this morning, brought across this stage to the best of my ability, six witnesses that'll stand in heaven's glory one day, I believe, clapping their hands, singing glory to the Lamb of God, whose life was forever changed. Right. See, the good news is, with Jesus Christ, it's never too late for you. It's never too late to begin again. Think about those converted folks that we know in Scripture. Think about Abraham the liar, or Jacob the cheat, David the adulterer, Rahab the harlot, Peter the coward, or Nicodemus that proud religious leader. There's no way to know in Scripture, because he's not mentioned before or after. We can't say for sure exactly how God worked in the heart of Zacchaeus to prepare him for the meeting with Jesus. Maybe, just maybe, he was friends with Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector. Maybe they worked out in the same office. Maybe he was a friend with Matthew. Maybe Matthew had told Zacchaeus about Jesus. Maybe Matthew said, "Zach, I'll be praying for you. Jesus called me. He's changed my life. He'll change your life too." Maybe Zacchaeus had become weary of wealth and started yearning for something greater. We don't know all his backstory. All that we know is what Luke gives us. We can rejoice that a seeking Savior will always find that sinner who's looking for a new beginning. What we can know is that when we first meet Zacchaeus, he's already seeking Jesus. And when he steps off the page of action in the New Testament narrative, he's changed forever. Right. Jesus passed by that way, calls him by name, and he responds with a greater enthusiasm than Jesus had asked for. Read the rest of it, verses 5 through 10. Y'all know where that story plays out. Zacchaeus says in verse number 8, "Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I'll restore it to him fourfold." Changed forever. Why? Because he met Jesus.
Amen.
I don't know where you are this morning on this homecoming Sunday, but I've got awful good news for you. Jesus Christ specializes in taking wasted, ruined lives and restoring them to full usefulness.
Amen.
It's through and by his amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, that we can all stand in glory where we used to be. Where we used to be until God found us and gloriously saved us. So wherever you are this morning in your spiritual walk, God's blessed you with homecoming. God's blessed you with a chance to start over. The very fact that you breathe enough oxygen, are able to drive a car and get yourself to this church this morning, is proof positive that God will tune out one more second. One more chance.
Right.
Maybe it's your third chance. Maybe it's your fourth or fifth or sixth. Bottom line is, he brought you here today for a reason. Maybe this homecoming celebration today at Boone's Creek will be your homecoming day. Maybe you're like the old songwriter says, "I've wandered far away from home. Now I'm coming home."
Yeah.
I don't know where you are this morning, but nothing would give me greater joy. And I think I speak on behalf of your pastor. Nothing would give us greater joy than introduce you to Jesus today.
Amen.
Maybe you've been hurt by religious people.
Maybe you've been looking for somebody to show compassion to you that nobody around you seems to know anything about. Maybe you're seeking one that has the answers for those questions in life that you never even asked out loud to anybody, but you're looking for that answer. I got good news for you, dear friend. He cares about you just like you are. He loves you just like you are.
Yes, he does.
He wants to save you just like you are. He wants to set you free from all that has held you in bondage for far way too long. He wants to set you free from whatever's holding you captive. On this special homecoming Sunday, Jesus is inviting you to come home today. Have a moment with the Master and let Jesus change your life. We saw six people today. Seven people, if you count Zacchaeus. We saw seven people today whose lives will forever change because they had a moment with the Master. You come today. You be obedient. I promise you, on the authority of God's Word, He'll not let you down. Take Him at His Word. He'll never let you down.
Amen.
Father God, I thank You for the privilege just to stand behind this sacred desk and deliver this Word from You. I ask You, Father, You'll take the final moments of this service, speak as only You can. God, I pray that You'd give those that need to come encouragement, give them confidence to come and turn those troubles and life's worries over to You as they come home today. And for all that You do for us, we'll gladly praise You for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As you stand alone in the house as we've seen, may you be of your pastor, let him receive you. I pray you'll be with me all today.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message, and if you will, you may share this video with a friend or family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's as simple. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. C, confess Him as your Savior, and you can pray a prayer like this: Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need You. And You died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust You, I do trust You, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Save my soul so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some materials we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again, visit us on website, BoomsCreekBaptist.org, and don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour. God bless.